Welcome to Do Hard Things with the Revolution. Do you want to rise above mediocrity and live your life sold out for the glory of God? Do you want to do hard things, make your life count, and use your teen years for Christ? Here at the Revolution, we know that navigating life as a Christian teen can be tough. Our hope with this podcast is to share biblical truth and provide real, honest, and relatable answers to your hardest questions. So with that in mind, let's dive right into the latest episode of Do Hard Things with the Revolution.
Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of Do Hard Things with the Revolution. I'm Tabitha Bell, and I'm here with my good friend Sarah Barrett. And today we have a very big topic to cover. So what are we going to talk about today, Sarah?
Well, today, you're right, Tabitha. This is a big topic. We are covering all things media. So to start us out, why don't you go ahead and give us a definition for what media even is?
Sure thing. Okay, so Google defines media as the main means of mass communication, broadcasting, publishing, and the internet regarded collectively. So media is mass communication. Think social media, smartphones, Netflix, TV shows, video games, podcasts, music, and web surfing. Those are all forms of media. So basically anything that's done on a screen. It's a really, really big topic. It covers a lot.
So pretty much this podcast is defined as media, which means that everything that we say, you're going to have to apply to this podcast, right?
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Yes. So for the first question, like as we talk about media, really understanding why does our media usage even matter? Like this is a big topic, but what also makes it an important topic? And first, really my belief here is that the purpose and the goal of our life, like as Christians, ultimately is to glorify God and it's to grow in holiness, right? So in everything, as in everything else, we have to consider if media is helping or hindering that ultimate goal of our lives of glorifying God and growing in holiness. And media, I don't know about y'all, but media affects me. It affects us so much. It conveys ideas about life and relationships, sexuality, and really just like everything under the sun, every topic. Every media format is filled with what I call these worldview ideas. So you can think of movies that convey ideas about like relationships. You can think of songs that are filled with ideas about love, sex, or romance. You can think of social media accounts that share ideas. And these ideas that are in these media formats, they shape culture, and then they, in turn, they shape us. Mm. And ideas always make an impact, whether they're true, whether they're false, they leave a mark. And so that's why we have to be really careful about what ideas we believe, which ideas we're listening to, and how they're affecting us. And Tabitha, have you ever been pulled in to like Instagram ads before?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I am such an influenceable person. I've pretty much figured this out about myself that I can be pulled into those Instagram ads so easily. Like they're trying to sell you something, right? So they make it look so great. Mm-hmm. They make it look like this miracle thing that will absolutely change and revolutionize your life. And I have, yes, admittedly, I've bought it before. I've gone for it. And honestly, sometimes it's been really good. Sometimes it's been the product or something that I'm like, this is not what they made it out like in the video. And I'm really disappointed. But as I was thinking about like how easily I can buy the ideas that they're selling, that this product is going will lead to change your life, this product is exactly what you need, it's a lot like every other idea in media. It's a very clear example that we are always being sold something by media, whether that's an idea or in my case on Instagram, whether that's a product of some sort, we're always being sold something. And the question is, Will we buy it? We actually believe that this is true. Will we go for it hook, line, and sinker and let that influence and impact us? And ideas are so powerful. I love this quote from Nancy Piercy that says, T.S. Eliot once noted that the serious books we read do not influence us nearly as much as the books we read for fun or the movies we watch for entertainment. Why? Because when we are relaxing, our guard is down and we engage in the suspension of disbelief that allows us to enter imaginatively into the story. As a result, the assumptions of the author or screenwriter may go unnoticed and seep all the more deeply into our consciousness. So I know that I've experienced that so much. Like, wow. the movies that I watch, the things I listen to, because I don't have the same necessarily, I guess, standards, you could say, for how much I filter those things sometimes, they can impact and influence us so much that we need to have those standards mm-hmm. higher. We need to have we need to realize how much they really do impact and influence us, because ideas are powerful and ideas are also often purposeful. Many media creators intentionally put worldview messages into their products. So we need to be aware of the myriad of ideas that is in media and how it's affecting us. And ultimately, if it is helping us in our ultimate purpose of glorifying God and growing in holiness. So I know that was a long ramble. I guess you could say this is a topic I feel kind of passionately about. But there are two things really that I want to dive into today as we consider media, and that's our choices first and our usage. So let's start with our choices first. I guess what media choices like have you made today or lately that you've like found? Have you found anything affecting you, or like just what choices have you been making lately?
Let's see. I think that's a good question. I've definitely found myself reaching for like lighthearted stuff from my media usage. So whether that's TV shows or music or whatever, you're aware I'm going through some things. And so because I've been dealing with more, just more stress and stuff and more emotional things and stuff, I have been reaching for more lighthearted stuff. So like this morning, I enjoyed a couple of episodes of one of my favorite 80s sitcoms with my sisters. And I love the 80s sitcoms, because especially like some of the, you know, some of the family ones, you know, they tend to have like all of these like don't drink kids messages, like or you know, like don't do drugs, just say no to peer pressure. And
see, those are worldview really ideas.
Exactly. So yeah, that's definitely the kind of media choices that I've been making, is just like, I don't know, trying to find stuff that's lighthearted.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think we definitely make media choices often based on what's going on in our lives around us. So that's a good thing to actually bring out and to consider, that are we making media choices because of our circumstances? Are we making them because of wisdom, or what's really the catalyst behind what kind of choices that we're making? And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more lately, but I think the biggest media choice that I've been struggling with lately is just picking up my phone and like scrolling Instagram too much. It can be such an easy thing just to do, that you just pick it up mindlessly, just scroll mindlessly. And I know that's something that I need to be aware of and need to be working on. And we're going to dig more into that kind of usage in just a few minutes here. But many of us, I found, we have like this split worldview when it comes to making media choices. We like apply God's truth to spiritual aspects of our lives, but then we leave entertainment out of the equation. But our 2 Corinthians 6:14 says that what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And really the answer to that is none. That light and dark cannot blend. Mm-hmm. One will always push out the other. So you cannot live a holy life if you're filling your heart with unholy things. And that applies so much to our media usage.
Absolutely. Another good scripture for that is Romans 12:2, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with. But it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God."
I kind of feel like that's sort of a media verse. Like, it's not, I know it wasn't intended for media, but it's so applicable to our media usage that we can really apply that to, are we being conformed or are we being transformed first by the word mm-hmm. of God and then letting that affect our media usage and impact that. So in my book, Stand Up, Stand Strong, which just came out a few months ago,
Go buy it.
Shameless.
I'm sorry.
Plug.
I had to.
Thank you.
Am I doing my job as a best friend if I don't push your book? Like, am I really?
Yes. Yeah. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Everyone needs a best friend like Tabitha who will shamelessly plug your book. Okay, y'all. She thinks you should go buy it. But anyway, in that book, I share like 3 questions for helping us figure out our media choices. The first is, do our choices glorify evil or do they glorify God? And it can be so difficult sometimes. I think we look at the word evil and we think that it has to be really like demonic or it has to be this really dark thing. But really, evil is anything that does not glorify God. And so mm-hmm. we kind of need to raise the bar when we answer that question of what is evil? What is in contradiction to God's character, in contradiction to God's word? And does it glorify that? Does it glorify sin? Is it glorifying things that we know that Jesus died for, really? Are we being entertained? I love what Jonathan Bakluta says, that are we being entertained by the things that Jesus died for? And so that's the first question.
That's so good.
Do our choices glorify evil? Second question, do they convey unbiblical worldviews? And this is going back to those that concept that everything we watch, listen to, has an idea, it has a worldview. So what kind of worldviews is this conveying? And yes, it's true that like there is very little media that is a 100% biblical worldview, agrees with every part of scripture. So it takes a lot of discernment to know where to draw the line here. And being aware of those worldviews is really the most important thing. Are we aware of the worldview messages or are we unaware and therefore susceptible to believing these messages? And then lastly, and probably most importantly, is do our choices pull us away from God or do they help to point us toward God? The question is really not always, is this a sin, but is this helping me grow in holiness? And I think if we approach things more like that, instead of how far is too far, is this a sin? But instead approaching it in the, will this help me grow in holiness? Will this help me to glorify God? So many things in our life would have a lot much more clarity as we consider the choices that we make, especially in media and entertainment. So those 3 questions are really important. Do they glorify evil, convey unbiblical worldviews, and pull us away from God?
That's excellent. That's a really, really good questions to ask. And I love what you mentioned about, you know, the question is not, is this a sin, but will this help me grow in holiness? Because if we ask ourselves, is this a sin, we're kind of like seeing how close to the line we can tiptoe. And we're creating like a pretty like open filter. Like imagine like a barbed wire fence, you know, like a chain link fence. Like you can get quite a bit through that. But if we ask ourselves, will this help me grow in holiness? Then suddenly the filter's gotten finer. It's what can get through is less. And when we ask ourselves that question, then we are kind of, instead of getting too close to the line of sin, we're kind of steering clear of it and making sure that we're making sure that we are, you know, staying closer to God and really keeping our eyes on Him rather than on the sin, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think is really important for us to do is to weigh everything against Scripture. And you might hear that and think, well, yeah, of course, like that's an obvious. But I want to suggest that it would apply to more than you might think. When I say weigh everything against Scripture, that should include the Christian Instagram influencer that you follow. That should include the Christian YouTuber that you watch. That should also include any pastors or teachers that you're listening to, any books that you're reading, any Christian music artists that you like. Absolutely nothing should get a free pass, whether it's labeled as Christian or secular. All media needs to be tested and approved, because everyone who is influencing you is being influenced as well. And I've got a little story time. So when I was about 14 years old, I want to say 14 or 15, I had ordered this CD from a Christian organization, like a Christian website, and it was a rock album and it was by a Christian group. And so I didn't think to look up the lyrics or anything. I always looked up the lyrics when purchasing music from secular artists, but I didn't have that same practice when it came to Christian artists. I just assumed like, oh, it's labeled Christian. Sure, it's great. So I ordered it. And when it arrived at my house, I listened to it pretty much all day, every single day. I was really enjoying it. It was a really great album. And like I said, I listened to it straight for about a week. And by the end of the week, I started to notice that I was feeling just this heaviness, like this melancholy feeling. I would even say like kind of veering into depression. And, you know, I was reading my Bible. I was praying daily. And I just couldn't figure out like where it was coming from. And so I talked to my mom about it. I went to her and I was telling her, you know, like I'm feeling depressed and I can't figure out why. And so she started asking me like, okay, what are you listening to? Like, what are you watching? You know, like kind of going through the list. And I was like, well, I got this new CD, but it's by a Christian band. And she goes, well, what are the songs about? And I said, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. So I went and I got the album booklet because I had an actual CD. And we flipped through the album booklet together and we read the lyrics and we noticed a theme that through every single song, it painted this really like dire, hopeless picture. Every single song. And it's not like the album started out like in a dire state and then it kind of like progressed that by the end of the album there was hope. No, through the entire thing, it was just dark, sad, hopeless. There was absolutely no sexual content. There were absolutely no profanities. There were no drug references. Like, as far as that goes, the content was clean, technically. But the atmosphere that it created was a very hopeless one. And it affected me. And So we prayed together and mom was like, you know what? Maybe you should throw it away. I'm not going to make you, but I want you to think about it. And so we prayed together and I thought about it and I went and I tossed the CD in the trash. And I'm not joking when I say like less than 15 minutes later, that heaviness lifted. It was gone. And it really taught me that just because you think something should be clean, that something should be, you know, an okay thing or harmless, that doesn't mean that it is. Everything needs to be examined. Everything needs to be tested, including those things that are coming from Christian sources.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That just reminds me of, you know, in scripture, the Bereans, that they went and, you know, when Paul preached to them, I mean, this is Paul. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't think that you'd have to, oh, you can take everything Paul says, just what, like, whatever. And, but no, they went and they searched the scriptures to find out whether or not these things were true. And that can be such a model and a pattern for us, that go and search the scriptures, figure out, are these things true? Test it, compare it, weigh it all against scripture. Like, don't just assume that because it's labeled Christian, that it's okay. And, you know, this is a matter of sanctification for us. You know, our discernment, it will grow. The more we know scripture, the closer we are to Jesus. Our discernment will grow. I look back and I see things that I used to watch or listen to, and I'm no longer comfortable with them. So the closer I grow to Jesus, the more sensitive I am to the things of the world. And I think that's a good thing, though.
It is.
I think it's a good thing to be able to look back and say, like, oh, I used to be okay with that, but I'm not now, because that's a sign that you're growing. It's a sign that you're being sanctified, you're being refined, you're being made more like Jesus. And so evaluating everything, though, it helps you along that process of figuring out, is this helping me grow in holiness? Is this in alignment with scripture? Does this agree with the things of the word of God? That's so, so important.
Yeah. And I think thinking about it that way, as, you know, it's a continual process. It's not just a matter of evaluating something once and then moving on. Like, we're allowed to evaluate and then reevaluate again and again, as many times as needed. So
absolutely.
With that in mind, here's a few things to keep in mind as you evaluate and reevaluate things. So first of all, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to how it makes you feel. Like I, you know, the story I told earlier, like, it was making me feel quite heavy and hopeless and depressed and discouraged. So pay attention to how the media that you're engaging in makes you feel. If you only ever feel worse, then reconsider the kind of content you're consuming or whether you should engage in that specific area of media at all. It could be that, you know, what you're watching on YouTube isn't beneficial and you need to watch other things on YouTube, or it could be that maybe YouTube just isn't a good platform for you to be engaging on. So consider that. Consider how it makes you feel. Another thing that we need to pay attention to is how it affects our actions. So does it foster ungodly behaviors and habits? Does it cause you to, you know, lash out and, you know, be angry and, you know, talk back to your parents, or, you know, cause you to tease your siblings, like, or just like, even just, you know, have a sense of humor that's, you know, sarcastic and mean and demeaning. Like, pay attention to how it's affecting the way you act and the way you behave. Another thing that we need to pay attention to is how it affects our words. Does it cause your speech to be harmful or unhelpful? If you're finding that, you know, listening to this certain music or watching this certain TV show is adding words to your vocabulary that you're finding it harder and harder to control, and, you know, it's coming out your mouth, then maybe consider whether you should be listening to that or watching it at all. We also need to pay attention to how it affects our thoughts and our attitudes. this one's a little bit trickier because, you know, people can call us out on our actions. People can call us out on our words, but you're the only one who's really hearing your thoughts, you and God. So really pay attention to how things are affecting your thought life and ask yourself, like, does it cause me to meditate on things that I shouldn't be meditating on? Does it increase the difficulty of maintaining a pure mind? Does it cause my attitude to be resentful or disrespectful? Again, a little short story time. I'm full of them this season.
You are. They're good.
So, little tattle on myself. I'm from the South. I like makeup. Okay. So that's the short of it. And we do. We like our hair high and our faces painted. It's just how it is. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's totally fine. But several years ago, in my late teens, I discovered beauty YouTube. And I was watching makeup tutorials. I was watching product reviews. And I was just so fascinated by the whole thing. I was just like, this is amazing. I didn't know that this existed. Like, it was just so incredible. But something that I noticed after, you know, quite a while of watching all these beauty videos and stuff and all these different product reviews was I kind of developed this I need it all mentality. Whatever the newest product was that was launching, I wanted it. I wanted a big collection. Mm. I wanted all the things. And it actually took like a couple of, you know, a couple of years. And finally, I kind of noticed it in myself. Mm. Or rather, you know, the Holy Spirit like convicted me of it. And it was like, you're quite discontent. Why? Like, you have quite a bit. Why do you mm-hmm. still feel the need to have more? And if watching these channels is fostering mm. this, you know, I need more, I have to have more, you know, mentality, uh-huh. then maybe you should change who you're watching. And so I did. And, you know, I'm still subscribed to some of the same channels and I still enjoy watching a beauty video. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I like watching, you know, the different colors being blended together. It's fascinating for me. I like it. It's an artistic thing. It's so fun. But
you're so good at it too.
Thank you. But the point is, it had crossed into a territory where it was breeding discontent. And that's yes. where the problem lied, was the yes. discontent. So I had to kind of check that attitude and adjust what I was consuming in the media so that I could kind of nip that feeling of discontent and materialism in the bud, you know?
As you were talking, I kind of was thinking that this all sort of comes down to the fruits of the Spirit. Is this helping us to grow in the fruits of mm-hmm. the Spirit or to develop the opposites of the fruits of the Spirit? You know, are we growing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Are we growing in those things? Like really everything that you just said, how we feel, our actions, our words, our thoughts, and our attitude, that all comes down to a fruit of the Spirit, one or the other. So that's a really excellent mm-hmm. thing as well to think about. Are we growing in the fruit of the Spirit through the media, or are we being pulled farther away from that fruit of the Spirit? Hey friends, what's up? Yes, it is time to tell you about our sponsor for the day. I get questions all of the time saying things like, how did you get published? What advice do you have for a young writer? And I always emphasize how important it is to find someone to mentor you in your writing. Young writers need support and guidance, but it can be so hard to find people who are willing to pour their time into mentoring up-and-coming authors. That's why I love the Author Conservatory. The Author Conservatory is a college alternative program focused on advanced writing craft and entrepreneurship to help you learn the writing and business skills you need to get published and support yourself financially. It's the mentorship you need on a professional level and will help you navigate the hurdles of publishing
growing your writing skills, learn how to be a successful entrepreneur, and so much more. If you're a young writer who wants to hone your writing skills and grow in your writing career, you need to check out the Author Conservatory. Head over to authorconservatory.com for more info and to request a free consultation. Again, that is authorconservatory.com.
Yes, and now the second half of this equation. So we've talked about our choices, but now I sometimes almost think that we struggle a little bit more with our usage. That our usage, even if our choices are great, our usage can even be abused. Media can so easily consume our lives. A really convicting question to ask is, do we control our devices or do our devices control us? And in many ways, I know that I am guilty of this as well. We've allowed our devices to become idols in some ways. We have left healthy usage behind and we've become consumed and addicted even. So whatever the obsession may be, whether it's social media, whether it's video games, whether it's music, even if it's something as big as pornography, we can't deny that we have given media in many ways too much power in our lives. And this affects us so much. It affects our brains. It affects our relationships. There's a quote here from Jean Twenge who says that adolescents who spend more time on new media, basically all the media that we're discussing here, were more likely to report mental health issues. And adolescents who spent more time on non-screen activities were less likely. Since 2010, iGen adolescents have spent more time on new media screen activities and less time on non-screen activities, which may account for the increases in depression and suicide. That is really sobering, but I've read study after study that's proven that those things are true. It affects our brains. It affects our relationships. We have more depression, more anxiety, more comparison, more toxic views of body image and sexuality. We have less in-person friends and relationships and more online followers, which cultivates an inauthentic form of relationship. We have less time with people and more time with our screens. And it overtakes our time. This is one of the biggest things, really, with our usage, is that it can overtake this precious gift that God has given us of our time. We are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Psalm 90:12 says that we should ask God to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I don't really think we often understand or realize how much media takes up our time. Like I just noticed this new feature on my phone that tells me how much time I spend on every single app and how much I spend per week, per day. And it's convicting. It really is. Like it even tells me how many times I unlock my screen every day. And one time, I think it was like 76 times a day. I'm like, how on earth did I unlock my screen 76 times in one day? But apparently I did. And I'm sure it's even been more than that at times. So how much screen time do we have? Is it overtaking our time? And that's so difficult and such a hard question to ask, but it's one that we really need to ask because the root of it is our usage damaging our relationship with God? Is it overtaking the time that we would spend with Him? Is it overtaking the time that we would spend in prayer, in His Word, in a community of believers, at church? Is it overtaking that time that we would spend abiding in Him? Is it damaging the most precious thing we have in life, and that is our relationship with God? So we need to be very, very vigilant to really be aware of this, to be aware of our usage. And a few guidelines, because of course now we're all feeling convicted and we need to do something about this.
Help us, Sarah.
Okay, first, we need to recognize areas of weakness. So yes. I confessed earlier, one of my biggest weaknesses is getting on Instagram and just mindlessly tapping mm-hmm. through stories and scrolling. I know that that is a weak area for me. And so it's something that I need to be more aware of. I need to be more intentional to uninstall that app for certain days on the week or even for longer periods mm-hmm. of time, weeks or months, just to be aware that that is an area of weakness for me. But Tabitha, if you feel like confessing, what is like an area of weakness for you?
Well, I can absolutely confess, and I know right off top of mind, the biggest area of weakness for me is YouTube. Because there's just so much fascinating content. And it's not just beauty YouTube. Like, I like watching declutters. I like watching organization videos. I like watching cooking videos and finding new recipes. Yeah. Like, there's all this great content, and you can learn how to do so many things on YouTube. I'm like, you can teach me everything. Like, it's amazing. but because of that, I can tend to just want to zone out and watch, you know, if I to be perfectly honest, like for a while there, you know, I would eat breakfast, and while I was eating breakfast, I would watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. While I was eating lunch, you know, I would pull out YouTube and I'd watch another YouTube video. And just like all throughout the day watching YouTube. And so, yeah, that is one that I have majorly had to rein in. And, you know, I dealt with the content and kind of cleaning up the content and making sure that the content that I'm watching is okay. But then God did kind of make me take a step further and was like, no, you need to also cut back on the usage because, mm-hmm. you know, you're maybe abiding in YouTube more than you're abiding in me. And that wasn't a good thing.
Okay. So, and that was really, really convicting what you just said. Abiding in YouTube more than you're abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, am I abiding in Instagram more than I'm abiding in Christ? Are we abiding in mm-hmm. video games more than we're abiding in Christ? Oh, wow. Like, that is so convicting. And that's a question I think we need to ask ourselves frequently of who are we abiding in more?
So another question that we need to ask ourselves is why? Why are you checking IG? Why are we binging on Netflix? Why are we watching YouTube all day? I have noticed that I tend to spend more time on Instagram or YouTube if I'm anxious or if I'm dealing with uncomfortable emotions that I would rather ignore. Reaching for media in those instances is a numbing agent for me. But God doesn't want us to merely numb our uncomfortable feelings. He wants us to process through them in a healthy way. So we need to ask ourselves, am I scrolling on Instagram to avoid dealing with something? Am I zoning out on YouTube because I don't want to face these emotions or process through this grief? Or, you know, even if we're, you know, we could even be doing it to avoid the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to try and, like, you know, block his voice out, you know? So we need to ask ourselves why we're engaging. And if it is that we're reaching for those things because we're trying to avoid our feelings or because we're trying to numb out, because, you know, we're trying to avoid the Holy Spirit, then we need to ask ourselves, is mm-hmm. there a healthier option? Is there something better that I could be doing? Would it be better if I were to go for a walk? You know, if I were to call a friend or a mentor and talk it out, would I do better to read my Bible or journal? Or pray, or, you know, whatever. I think we really need to, just ask ourselves why, and be sure that when we're reaching for media, it's not out of an unhealthy place. And I've really had to be doing this lately, because, like I said earlier, I've dealt with a lot lately, and so my emotions haven't been in the best place. And there was a good week there where I was dealing with a lot of stuff, and then I got sick on top of it. And I'll be honest, for like a solid week, my media usage was way, 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 way over the top. It was not good. And I was just using it to zone out, to just numb out and avoid stuff. But I've really had to kind of cut back in the last few weeks and really just kind of let myself go to God. If I'm feeling anxious over something, go to God instead and talk to Him about it. You know, that will produce so much more peace than going to media.
Absolutely. That is an important question to ask. Why are we picking up our phone so much? Why are we turning to YouTube? Why am I picking up my phone and automatically going to Instagram? It's mm-hmm. an important question. And to add on to that, we need to have firm boundaries around our media.
Yes.
That, all right, how much will we use it? We need to, you know, have even people in our life helping us set these boundaries and helping us keep these boundaries. I remember last summer when I was doing a online book study for my book with a group of many of you at the Reb. One of the things when we reached the media chapter that I said I wanted to do was turn off my phone at 9 p.m. And so that was a boundary that I set. And because I knew that everyone a part of that book study was going to be keeping me accountable, I stuck to it. I did so good for that week. But then afterwards, when I didn't have that accountability, you know, oh, I'll just turn it off at 9:30. I'll turn it off at 10. Next thing I know, it wasn't off until 11:30. You know, that's how it goes. Accountability is so important to help you reinforce those boundaries. And maybe that's a boundary of, you know, going one day a week completely screenless, or going a day a week without any social media, or several days a week. Whatever boundary you think that you could set with yourself there for your usage, it's important, and you'll be much more effective if you have accountability helping you back that up. But set those boundaries, because boundaries help you to navigate your usage in healthier ways.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the ways that we can set boundaries is by setting timers. In other words, we need to pay attention to how much of our attention we're actually giving to these things. Even if all the content that we're absorbing or consuming is good, like we've talked about, if it's keeping us from better things, like praying or reading our Bible or investing in genuine relationships, then in a sense, it is bad. So you've heard the saying, all things in moderation. I think moderation is absolutely key in media consumption. We have to kind of moderate ourselves and make sure that we're aware of how much of our time we're giving to these things. I actually have timers on my phone. So because I know that, you know, Instagram or Facebook or YouTube can be tricky ones for me, I have timers on each of them. So it lets me know, hey, you've only got, you know, an hour left, or you only have 30 minutes left. And also kind of making sure that I don't hit, you know, the whole, you know, add more time for today every single day. That can be really hard.
Right.
But, you know, that it does give you that pause of like, are you going to add more time for today, or are you going to stick to it? You know, so that's a really helpful feature. But another thing that we can do, and you kind of already mentioned this, is that we need to take regular breaks.
Yes.
And maybe that's a once a week thing. Maybe that is every month, or a month at the beginning of the year. Like some people, I know you've done this before, like take a good chunk of time at the beginning of the year to kind of recenter and refocus their minds and their hearts on Christ. But taking breaks from these things can be super duper beneficial, because it can be really easy to believe that you have to get on Instagram or watch TV every single day. But the truth is, you don't. And taking regular breaks from media reminds us of that. It helps us put it back in its place. It reminds us that these things aren't necessary to our survival. We can, in fact, live without them. The only thing that we truly need every day is Christ. The only thing that we really need daily is the Word of God. He is our daily Amen. Bread. The Word of God Amen. Is our daily bread. So, and the thing is, Christ is our portion, and it's a sufficient portion. You know, it's he's an abundant portion. He's enough. Mm. So, yeah, yes. we need to take regular breaks from these things to remind mm-hmm. us of that, because, yes. you know, how many of us think that we must check social media or watch TV or, you know, fill in the blank every single day, but we'll ask ourselves and we'll wonder, is it really important that I read my Bible every day or that I pray every day? You know, if we're really tired, we may tell ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. it won't hurt if mm-hmm. I skip a day. For me, it's super important that I take breaks from, again, Instagram and YouTube. I typically do on Sundays, I'll have, you know, no social media, so no Instagram, no Facebook. And for the longest time, I have kind of allowed myself to still, you know, have access to YouTube. And I haven't wanted to, you know, set in stone that I take a break from that every week. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, well, what if I'm listening to like Christian worship music? Or what if I, you know, want to listen to a sermon? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, what if I just listen to godly things, you know? But the truth is, when as I really thought about it, like that was my cue that like, yeah, you need to take a day off.
Yeah.
Every week. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is good for you. So I started doing that. And you know what? I've really enjoyed it. And it's helped yeah. me. Not only has it helped me remember that like I don't need it every day, but it's also helped me remember to kind of pay attention to my usage throughout the week. That's yeah. the great thing about taking breaks, I think, is that it does help us be more mindful of mm-hmm. how much time we're giving mm-hmm. to these things. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And this is convicting for me because it can be one thing to set it in stone, like you said, that, okay, I'm going to take a break every, you know, one day a week, whatever it is. And you do really good on that for a while, mm-hmm. but then you make one little compromise and one other little compromise. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're not doing that anymore. And I have found myself slipping yeah. up just a little bit here and there on that one day a week, no social media. And so this is a really good reminder for me to get back on track with that. Don't let it slip anymore and be consistent, be diligent, be intentional about these things. And replace that, you know, don't replace that with something else that's unhealthy, but replace it with mm-hmm. good things. Replace it with real interactions, with real people, real things. You know, spend time with your family, spend time with friends, spend time outside, spend time learning something new, spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, spend time reading good books. Mm-hmm. There are so many other things that we could be spending our time on. And just imagine if we spent our time doing these things instead of just being constantly in media all the time. Mm-hmm. I think we would learn and grow so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would. So kind of going off of what you said there that, you know, because you and I have both slipped up. We've both set boundaries and then we slip up and we, you know, start having these things creep back and, you know, our usage starts to go up too high again and all of this stuff. So I wanted to take a moment and just kind of encourage our listeners. Like, if you do slip up, not if, when you slip up, because we're humans, we're going to slip yes. up from time to time. It's going to happen, okay? Don't beat yourself up over it, okay? Don't let this be one of those things that, you know, the enemy can sneak in to just condemn you and beat you over the head with it, okay? When you slip up, acknowledge it, be honest. Acknowledge it, go to God with it, and ask him for help again. And then start fresh. The thing about God is that his mercy is new every single morning, okay? He doesn't grow impatient with us. He is slow to anger. He is rich in love, okay? So don't, you know, get too frustrated or, you know, in your feelings about, you know, how horrible your usage was yesterday or last week, you know. Each day, just accept God's grace, thank him for his mercy, and ask him for his help.
Amen.
And he will help you. And just, you know, thank him for helping you to see that, you know, maybe your usage was too high, or maybe the content that you were watching was not super great, you know. Thank him for that. Thank him for that conviction.
No, and that just is so good. On. So good.
And I'm saying this because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, so I'm constantly needing the, you know, accept grace speech. So if that's you, if you yes. also deal with that perfectionism tendency and you're like, you know what, I just keep messing it up, I keep not doing it right, you know, accept grace. You're human. God gives you grace. That's why it's there. So
and praise Jesus yes. for that.
Honestly, just praise him for it. Thank him for it. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is we need to understand that, you know, as we set these rules, you know, we're talking about the different rules and timers and, you know, schedules and things that we set for ourselves. We need to understand that not everybody is going to live by our rules. It is perfectly okay to set rules for yourself. By all means, do that, okay? But don't expect everybody to live by them. Don't judge them if and when they don't. There are standards, to be clear, there are standards that the entire body of Christ is expected to meet. Things that we are all expected to do, things we're all expected not to do. But God may ask us as individuals to set additional standards or boundaries because we have tendencies or we're bent towards specific areas of sin. And, you know, for example, you know, we are all called, the entire body of Christ is called to abide by Philippians 4:8, you know, whatever's true, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, all of that, you know, we're all expected to abide by that. But mm-hmm. it doesn't say anywhere in scripture that it's a sin to listen to secular music, that you can only listen to Christian radio, or that you can only listen to hymns. But maybe God is asking you as an individual not to listen to secular music. Maybe he's asking you as an individual not to have a Twitter account. Maybe he's asking you as an individual, like, you don't need to read a certain genre of books or whatever. That doesn't give us the license to judge those who do, because the point in all of this, the point is not that we create rules for the purpose of making our lives more difficult or more miserable, okay? That's not the point of this. It's not just to make life harder for us as Christians. The point is that we each walk in dependence on God. The point is that we each do what he asks us to do, mm-hmm. that we each talk to him about the choices that we're making. The point is that we learn to recognize and obey God's voice, and that we grow in relationship with him. Because at the end of the day, that's why we're discussing media here on the podcast, is because our lives were designed so that, you know, as Christians, so that we can seek God, so that yes. we can grow in relationship with him, so that we can grow in likeness of him. And so when we set these rules, when we set these boundaries in things, when we have these filters that we're considering, it's not to make our lives harder. Mm-hmm. It's to encourage us to go to God, to draw near to God, and to become more like Christ.
Absolutely. I think that just brings us really full circle with just what we started with, that the goal of our lives is to grow in holiness, to become more like mm-hmm. Christ. And that reminds me of a quote from my book, which I'm just going to go ahead and read that. I say in the media chapter that we can ask all the questions. We can set up all the boundaries. We can throw away all the questionable content, think through all the worldviews, and check all the boxes. But if our hearts aren't set on the goal of glorifying God, we're no better off. Legalistic rules and requirements don't make us holy or help us counter the culture. Only a heart transformed by God's grace can do that. If our hearts aren't right, our actions won't stand a chance. Jesus's transformation invades every corner of our lives, and our media usage is not exempt from the overhaul. Let's not be conformed to the world, but instead allow Jesus to transform us from our hearts to our minds to our entertainment. So I pray that this would be your goal. I know it's certainly mine, and we need God's grace for that. All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us for this episode. I hope it was encouraging to you. I know it was certainly convicting to me. And let's just all keep that goal of glorifying God first and foremost as we seek to make these choices about our media. So thank you so much for joining me, Tabitha. Again, you're such an excellent co-host.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, friends. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Do Hard Things with the Revolution. I hope you're enjoying this season as we dig into tough cultural questions and provide biblical answers. If you want to go deeper into navigating society biblically and how to impact culture with the gospel, pick up a copy of my new book, Stand Up, Stand Strong, A Call to Bold Faith in a Confused Culture. Stand Up, Stand Strong dives deep into all of the topics that we're covering on the podcast on a greater level and is your field guide to live with clarity even in a culture of confusion. Head over to therevolution.com/standupstandstrong for more info and pick up a copy from any online retailer. If you enjoyed this episode, hit subscribe to never miss any of our content and let us know by leaving us a review. Reviews truly make all the difference in helping us get the word out about this podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Brett Harris, author of Do Hard Things and founder of The Revolution. Are you a Christian student who loves writing but think it could never go anywhere because you've been told young people can't get published and writers don't make any money? Well, you've been told wrong. I published my first book as a teenager and have sold around 700,000 copies of my books over the course of my writing career. Over the last decade, I've served as a mentor and coach to many of the world's top young writers and authors, including people you might know like Sarah Barrett and Jaquel Crow. If writing is your passion, I'd love to work with you as well through the Author Conservatory, a 3-year college alternative for both fiction and nonfiction writers. Just visit www.authorconservatory.com to learn more and apply for a free consultation. That's www.authorconservatory.com.